James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Kaufman said, "It is an utter impossibility for any wicked person to be wise. The true wisdom is only found in those of moral and upright character." Verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Kaufman said, "If someone claims to have wisdom, but his life and character are out of harmony with the Lord, the entirety of that person's life is a lie against the truth." And on bitter envy and self-seeking, Kaufman said, "Falsehood is not merely the hurt of some abstract virtue or bare rule of right and wrong, but a direct blow at the living truth. All shades of falsehood are betrayals of the Son of Man." Verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Kaufman said, "This outrageous method of spreading religion is not the wisdom that comes from God, but is false teaching." Verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Kaufman said, in verse 15, James described much so-called wisdom in three progressing steps. First, pertaining to earth, not to the world above. Second, pertaining to mere nature, not to the spirit. And three, pertaining to the hostile spirits of evil and not to the living God. Verse 16 follows as proof of what was said in verse 15. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So James gave seven descriptions of wisdom here in this verse. And the first, the wisdom that is from above, Kaufman said, "This does not mean that mortals are directly inspired by such wisdom, but that God is the ultimate source from which their wisdom is received. This wisdom is the Bible, and the source of that wisdom is God." About pure, the Word of God is not to be weakened by human speculations, philosophy, and opinions. The Word itself takes precedence over everything else. Peaceable. The tendency of the true wisdom is not that of producing division and conflict, but that of healing divisions and pouring oil upon the troubled waters of human relationships. These qualities are exactly those explained by the Master in the Beatitudes of the Sermon on the Mount. James continues his faithfulness to the teaching of the Lord. About gentle. Paul stressed being gentle in 2 Timothy 2:24 by writing, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach." Willing to yield has the meaning of being easily persuaded to forgiveness. This is the very opposite of the cold, arrogant, and unyielding hardness of some in the world today. Full of mercy and good fruits. James's comment here is inspired by the Savior's own requirement that those who would be forgiven must themselves be willing to forgive others. Without partiality. This means without contradiction, wavering, or unpredictable changes. Without hypocrisy. We are on firm ground for the meaning of this. Hypocrisy was a vice which Jesus exposed and denounced with every fiber of his being. All of Matthew chapter 23 was dedicated to hypocrisy. The conduct of those ancient Pharisees are the perfect example of what Christians should not be and should not do. Now, the last verse, verse 18. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Kaufman quotes Jesus from Matthew 5 verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. This is from the Beatitude that James certainly had in mind here. The wise man is the peacemaker who sows good seed that will bear precious fruit in God's appointed time. The behavior in view here is the result of true wisdom to which this paragraph is entirely related. The most outstanding thing in this chapter is the abundance of the teachings of Jesus, which dominates every line of it. In the introduction, it was noted that James is the most Christ-centered of all of the New Testament writings, in the sense of it being based absolutely upon the teachings of the Master himself. This chapter affords the most remarkable demonstration of that fact. We should be thankful to God who enabled James to remember and expound so faithfully the precious words of Jesus.